Welcome in to another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast. I'm Adam Abdallah, along with Jordan Sherwood, as always. Follow me on Twitter, at Adam A. Abdallah. Follow Jordan on Twitter, at Woodon1063. We are back for another UFC fight night, this time in Paris. We're going overseas. We're going to Europe. We are not. We're in the studio. We don't get to go anywhere. We just get to sit here and talk about it and then watch it on ESPN+. But the fighters in the UFC will be going over to Paris for a UFC fight night, and it should be a pretty decent card. The main event might not be so great, but some of these undercard matches are pretty good in the main card, but before the main event. Right, Jordan?
Yeah, I mean, but then again, I think any Tai Tuivasa fight, you know, in the main event at heavyweight is always entertaining.
That's fair. You get the big
and
boys.
And the prospects of him doing a shoey afterwards. I think the thing I'm most interested in seeing is the crowd reaction, because this is the first time ever the UFC is in Paris. MMA just got legalized like two years ago. So, you know, so MMA didn't exist in France. European fans are typically amped and some of the best we've seen for live events. But I'm curious if the Frenchmen are going to be just as amped. I'm assuming they will. There's a lot of French fighters on this card.
Yeah.
But is it weird that that's what I'm most looking forward to, is the crowd reaction to seeing this event actually play out live?
No, I mean, I think that if the fights are good, the crowd will always be good, right? If the crowds are there and the fights are good, then people will be into it. If the fights are boring, no one's going to be into it, right? Like, that's kind of how it works. It has to be equal opportunity cheering for equal opportunity quality fights, you know?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, actually, you know, you saying that, like, there's plenty of fights that are going to be action fights, you know, the two styles that are matching up in a lot of the main card bouts will play to that and should have some exciting fights.
Yeah, so let's get started here with our first fight on the main card. You mentioned a few French fighters, French-Canadian Charles Jourdain against Nathaniel Wood, here to kick off this main event in this main card. Jourdain is a minus 150 favorite over Nathaniel Wood at plus 118. And this might be the best fight of the night. Like, you might get started the main card with the best fight of the night, because these dudes will come out swinging, and this one could be exciting for the entire fight, for however long it lasts, whether it's a round, two rounds, or if it goes the distance. But this should be a great fight.
Yeah, and it's great that we start with Charles or Jourdain. We've talked about him a couple of times on the podcast. He is an all-action fighter. He came in with a lot of hype into his UFC career. Very versatile, athletic striker, but also a guy now that has matured into like a full-fledged mixed martial artist. I think we saw it on display his last two fights, his victory over Lando Venata, where he was able to get the fight to the ground and get a guillotine choke against a fight that we thought was going to play out for three rounds on the feet. Then he had an absolute war with Shane Burgos, which was a loss. Couple of judges scored the fight for Charles Jourdain, or a lot of people, you know, MMA pundits scored it for Jourdain, which is why I think he's not as big a favorite heading into this fight with Nathaniel Wood, also a guy that came into the UFC, you know, Adam, with a lot of hype, a lot of notoriety, very well-rounded fighter, you know, came on a hard time, got stopped by John Dodson a couple of years ago, which was a surprise, but recently moved up to featherweight. His last fight, he moved up to featherweight for the first time, defeated Charles Rosa in a pretty much dominating fashion when they were in London in July. I think, actually, even though I just alluded to Jourdain being, you know, probably a little bit disrespected because he lost his last time out, I like Nathaniel Wood a little bit in this spot.
Ooh,
I think
that dog. He can match okay. up.
Yeah, I think he can match up from a striking perspective. You know, Jourdain's going to have a little bit more variety, but I think Nathaniel Wood can dirty it up a little bit. It's got very good boxing, and I think he can overwhelm Jourdain with the grappling, aggression, and wrestling that he'll bring to the table. Now, certainly he'll be the smaller fighter because he's moving up in weight from bantamweight to featherweight, and Jourdain's a, you know, pretty tall, lengthy featherweight. But to open up the main card, I like the dog. I think the dog could bark. Nathaniel Wood plus money is certainly got my attention for tomorrow.
All right, we will go a little bit of big game hunting, though. Yes, method of victory. Wood to win by knockout, TKO, is 9-1. Wood by decision is plus 250. And Wood by submission is 7-1.
I think the decision prop, if you have to play a prop, would be the way to go. Jordan is a guy that has 5 losses in his mixed martial arts career, but he's only been stopped once. That was when he got submitted against Julian Arosa, and you know, it was a catchweight fight. Jordan tired in that fight, and really, I think, was more of a cardio dump than necessarily him getting stopped and finished by a Darce choke from Arosa. So I think if you want to get a little bit, you know, cute and have a little bit more fuel in the fire, then you play Nathaniel Wood via decision, banking on the fact that Jordan's not a guy that typically gets stopped. And really also Nathaniel Wood, you know, is a guy that certainly has stopped some people before, but also, you know, his last 2 victories in the octagon have both come via decision.
Yeah, I was just throwing, I mean, if we're going with the dog, we're going with the dog straight up. I'm not going to mess around, but just throwing it out there in case somebody wanted to sprinkle something on a +250 win by decision for Nathaniel Wood. Our next fight, John McDessie against Nasrat Haqparast. Haqparast is a -225 favorite over McDessie, who's +172. Not only is he +172, but he's also plus about 10 years on Nasrat. So this is youth against age a little bit here, as these guys were scheduled to fight in 2019, but now that fight has been delayed, and now they're going to fight 3 years later here in 2022. And this one could just be a battle of, well, Nasrat's a lot younger and probably going to be a lot faster and a lot better than the grizzled veteran of a John McDessie.
Yeah, I mean, McDessie's been around forever. I mean, he made his UFC debut in 2010. You know, very flashy striker, well-versed in that regard. Has kind of, like, matured a little bit as a fighter. Now, hopefully he has. I mean, again, we're talking about a guy now that's been in the UFC for 12 years. You know, more well-rounded, but I think he's always come up a little bit short against guys that can match him with striking, and whether it be from volume or just overall power. I mean, look at his losses. Donald Cerrone, Yancy Medeiros, Lando Venata, Anthony Njikawani, Francisco Trinaldo, you know, guys that can hold their own on the feet. And that's what I think Nasrat Haqparast brings. I mean, he's going to rely on his youth, rely on his volume, you know, his striking power. I wouldn't be surprised, even though this fight should be contested on the feet, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe McDessie tries to work in a little bit of wrestling, because Haqparast has struggled with that. I mean, he came in with a lot of hype, but he's 5-4 in the UFC. It's like, okay, you're 500 fighter. Like, but we talked about this actually last week on the show when we were recapping the Leon Edwards win. Like, you asked me what had my attention a week before Paris, and it was this. It was Nasrat Haqparast, who was at -175, 180 when we did the podcast a week ago. He's now at like 210, 220. So, I still like him. I just think the fight's going to be on the feet. He's better on the feet. Probably 3-round decision. I don't know if McDessie's going to get stopped. You know, McDessie, when he gets stopped, like, it's because of, like, something pretty fancy, and I don't think Haqparast's going to be able to bring that in.
So if you're looking at method of victory, you mentioned by decision. That's +120, so that's pretty decent value, because if you're just looking at a straight money line bet on Nasrat, it's -225. So you think we should go with the decision there at +120?
I think so, or I'm going to feel comfortable just throwing Nasrat Haqparast into like a parlay.
Okay.
You know, 2 or 3 other fighters that I like on the main card. But I think, yeah, McDessie's a tough out. He goes hard for 3 rounds. He's going to want to showcase his striking. I think Haqparast's going to get the better of him over 3 rounds.
All right. That should be a decent one if it does go the distance. Our next fight, Alessio De Chirico against Roman Kopylov. Kopylov is a -106, I guess -106 underdog, because Alessio is a -120 favorite. So both these, you're not getting even or plus money with either of these guys right now. Both of these guys are kind of a favorite, which leads me to believe that this could be more of a toss-up if you look at this one.
It is 100% a toss-up. I hate to say it, Adam, I don't have a play in this. It's a fun fight. It'd be interesting. Look, Alessio Tacrico is, like, very interesting. He's the first guy, I think, in UFC history to win and lose consecutive fights via head kick, KO.
Oh.
Like, that's crazy. The fact that he won one, he knocked out Joaquin Buckley in, like, 2 minutes, and then he got starched by Al Hassan in his next fight via head kick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kopylov, like, a guy that, like, you know, again, he's 0-2 in the UFC. He just really hasn't figured it out. I think maybe he could utilize some wrestling and grappling to get the win. I'm going to side with him, but it's not with any sort of confidence whatsoever.
All right, we'll stay away from it then. That's it. I trust you. I'm staying away.
Yeah.
I mean, it might
be. You guys are just not trustworthy.
Yeah, I mean, it could be a decent fight because you're looking at basically a pick 'em here, but I don't. If you don't trust it either way, I'm not looking at method of victory. I'm just staying away because, listen, it's Saturday, college football's back. There's a lot more things we can sprinkle our money on than a fight that you're not confident in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd have much confidence. You know, this podcast is, recording it on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Illinois football plays Friday night against Indiana. I don't have any confidence in the Illini. Like, even though it's Indiana, like, whatever, just do something else.
All right, our next fight's a little weird, right? Robert Whittaker against Marvin Vettori. These guys are, if you look at Whittaker, he's won 11 consecutive fights with an asterisk. If you look at Marvin Vettori, he's 7-0-1 in his last 9 fights. With an asterisk. Both of these guys have lost twice to Israel Adesanya. Other than that, they're basically perfect.
Yeah, I'll make the math work better. Whitaker's 12-2 at middleweight. His two losses are to Adesanya.
Well,
and Vittori's 6-1 in his last 7 fights.
That's fine. I like making people think about it. Being like, these guys are really good. They're great.
They're number one and they're number two in the division.
Yeah, they're great. They're absolutely great. Except for against Israel Adesanya. Like, against him, they've both lost twice.
Yeah,
other than that, they're
guys
great.
The biggest Alex Pereira fans on the face of the earth.
Forget
the Alex Pereira fan clubs or the... You know, the guy that recommended he change his Twitter profile because there's 4 fake accounts of the guy that's challenging next for the middleweight title. Robert Whittaker and Marvin Vettori are the biggest Alex Pereira fans because if Alex Pereira knocks out and beats Israel Adesanya when they fight, the winner of this fight's fighting next for the title because they're the best middleweights on the planet outside of the champ.
And that's just that's very weird to me that both these guys are. Yeah, it's going to be a great fight. Whittaker is -250. Vettori is +190. So a big dog for him. But yeah, number one and two in this division besides Israel Adesanya. Like this is going to be a this could be a great fight to see who could go up against either Perez or Adesanya once that fight happens.
Yeah. I mean, look, Robert. I mean, both guys extremely well rounded. Probably Whittaker a little bit better of a striker. Vettori, just gets in your face, dirties up fights, relies on his cardio, clinch, takedowns. Here's the thing that I'm worried about if you are a Robert Whittaker backer. And I'm leaning towards not being. I'm leaning towards Marvin Vettori.
The dog.
Because what I'm hearing from people who in the Robert Whittaker camp and people think he's going to win, Robert Whittaker is going to rely on his grappling and his wrestling to win this fight. And it's good, but it's not great. And Marvin Vettori can certainly hold his own in that department. So if you're saying to me that that's the way that Robert Whittaker can win at -240, I'm not going with that. I just can't get behind that. So I think Marvin Vettori doesn't get stopped. Like, he's got a granite chin, and I don't think Robert Whittaker's going to throw out something from a striking standpoint. It's going to bother him. So Vettori dirties it up, maybe in a somewhat boring fight, and controls some takedowns, and does enough to get his hand raised via decision. That's the way I'm going to go. Okay, fine. Maybe I'll go a little bit more nostalgic also because, look, I want to get sentimental. My grandfather just recently passed away. He would have been 98 years old actually yesterday, and he passed away a week ago. His name was Marvin. Go with Marvin.
Okay.
He's going to win.
All right, Marvin Vettori, if you're going by decision too, +330 to win by decision, if you want to sprinkle a little bit on that, that might be worth it, but he is a +190 dog, so you're getting that underdog as it is in Marvin Vettori.
Yeah.
So that should be, it should be a great fight, number one and number two.
How about the over, too? I think you got to play the over. I really don't think either one guy gets stopped again. You know, Whittaker does have some power, and he's got some good striking, but Marvin Vettori just doesn't. He's just like a Terminator. Just keeps on coming.
Okay.
And he didn't get stopped by Adesanya. He didn't get stopped by Paulo Costa. Again, these murderers that he's been in there with. But Robert Whittaker really doesn't get stopped either, unless it's Israel Adesanya. So,
yeah.
I think the over
2.5 is -285. So
yeah, okay.
That's a lot of juice.
So
mentioned the parlay. Put in Hakparast to win and over 2.5 in the Whittaker Vettori fight. That takes you to -105, just about even money.
Okay. Okay.
So there you go.
Okay.
That could be a parlay there.
We could play along with that and maybe throw in, a Benoit St. Denis from the prelims over Gabriel Miranda or something like that. to add a little bit more juice.
That gets you at plus 163 right there.
Yeah.
All right. That sounds good.
And I got to ask you this before. Sure. I'm totally throwing a curveball at you because it's been bothering me since I saw it earlier today posted. So George St. Pierre is like, you know, the French Canadian, you know, the Hall of Famer from Canada. He's doing some like media, you know, in preparation for this fight tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And GSP named his MMA Mount Rushmore.
I saw this.
And I get that GSP is French Canadian.
I saw this.
He's not American.
Yes.
But when you name a Mount Rushmore,
it's four.
How many people are you supposed to name?
Four.
The dude named seven.
Okay, that's not
He named seven people on his MMA Mount Rushmore, and he didn't name himself.
Yeah, that's not even a starting five in basketball.
He should be on the Mount Rushmore of MMA. Like, what? You can't do that. Why? What?
Who? Well, we were talking about this yesterday with as far as Serena Williams goes, and when you do a just all-around athletes ever, right? Serena has to be on there, right? You put Serena on there, you put Muhammad Ali on there. You could put Jordan if you wanted to. You could put Wayne Gretzky if you wanted to. You know, there's a lot of options on there, but it's always four. It's four. There's four. Did you spill? Did you just spill?
No,
all over
I
the
just
place?
Had a good sip of water.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you spilled your water.
No, it's good, man. You see, it's good. It's good. No,
it's some good icy water there.
It's tasty.
Yeah, you can't. It's four, and then the conversation led to: will they ever add another head to the president's Mount Rushmore? And we found out that the mountain is not structurally sound enough to add another president. So, like, you can't put another face on there. Mount Rushmore.
If they did, then you can name five people. But until then, you can only name four.
You got to put it on another mountain. We got to start a new mountain, essentially.
So, you got to blow up three of these people that George named.
I mean, you can't. You can't. If you know Mount Rushmore, it's four. That's how it works. Right. It's four.
Yeah. So that just was bothering me to know. Yeah. I had to get your opinion on that.
No, it's four. So it's only four. You got to take three off. Our main event, the big dudes, the heavyweights, Paris' own Cyril Gane is going against Tai Tuivasa, the Shoei. This should be great. Although the odds dictate that it might not be. Gane is a minus 650 favorite. Tuivasa's plus 430. So this might not be great.
Yeah, I mean, well, the first automatic play that I had, and I actually released it on Twitter. So, you know, the four people that follow me on Twitter got it. This fight's not going to go to the judges' scorecards at minus 225, 250. Like, Gane has a finishing rate of 80%. Tuivasa is at like 72%. So these guys go out and they finish people for sure. We don't know much about Tuivasa's cardio. This is a 5-round fight. I highly doubt that he could go the full 25 minutes. The dude hits hard. He comes at you. He could take shots. We saw him take a shot in the fight against Derek Lewis, and then he stopped Derek Lewis. Mm-hmm. Cyril Gane's cerebral. He's got obviously a very well-rounded game. I don't expect him to fight tentatively like he did against Francis Ngannou. I think Cyril Gane is motivated to fight in front of his home countrymen. I think he's going to feed off of the success of a lot of other French fighters that are fighting earlier on in the card that are going to be successful. I think he's going to look to take this fight to the ground. And when he does, Tai Tuivasa is certainly in for a lot of trouble. So I think you have to play Cyril Gane inside the distance, and I think you have to play the under, or the fight doesn't go to the judges' scorecards, or even at the under at 4.5 would be the two plays. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see Tuivasa win. The dude's great. I want to see him drink a Shoei. I want to see him fight for the title.
Yeah.
I just think that Gane's not going to provide him like the avenue that even in a 25-minute fight, the one time where he could land something that's going to cause a majority shift in the fight the way the direction it goes.
And if you add that, because not to go the distance is minus 250, so add that to our little parlay, then takes it up to plus 269 with four fights there.
Okay.
So over two and a half.
I'm for that.
Yeah, and if you look at this also too, I mean, the odds makers, if you look at the method of victory too, to win by knockout is plus 110, to win by decision is plus 200, and to win by submission is plus 400. Those are really low odds for method of victory to be that, you know, direct with your decision, right? So if you look at it and go the over, like you mentioned, right now our parlay is the over in the Whitaker-Vettori fight at 2.5. Nasrat Haqparast to win straight up at -225. Benoit St. Denis to win straight up at -285. And the fight between Ciryl Gane and Tai Tuivasa will not go the distance at -250. And that will pay you +269. Bet 100, win $269. Bet 10, win $26.09 type of thing.
That's good. That's good. I wish that the prop for Gane's submission was a little bit higher. His first two victories in the UFC were both via submission.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, he's good on the ground, and Tuivasa definitely will struggle there.
I'll sprinkle a little bit on 4-1. You know?
What's that?
I'll sprinkle a little bit on 4-1. And remember, because this is in Paris, and this is mostly for me, these fights are earlier. You're not going up. You're not looking at Saturday night.
Yourself,
yeah, right. You're not going to go up Saturday night and be like, oh, man, I remember listening to the Unnamed MMA podcast. They had a parlay. I'm down on my luck after betting a full day of college football. I'm going to open up my app, and I'm going to go to FanDuel, and I'm going to put in this parlay. You're going to be like, well, the fights are done, dude, because these are early in the afternoon. So make sure you lock
prelims,
these in early.
Prelims start at 11 a.m. Yep. Central, FatJackSports.com. I've got to play in the first fight of the morning. At 11 a.m., the Stephanie Edgar-Perez fight. So look for that. And the main card starts 3 o'clock, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get them in. They're not going to be on Saturday night.
Yeah, so for those keeping track, we had that parlay. We also have Nathaniel Wood to win straight up at +118. Nasrat by decision at +120. And Marvin Vettori as the dog there to win straight up as well at +190. So it should be good. Hopefully these go along into your plays with some college football. I like the under tonight in the Michigan State game if you're going with that. I like Utah as well to win, to cover the 2.5 in Florida tomorrow as well. Just throwing out extra picks here for
people.
I'm throwing out some extra picks.
Notes down too, myself here. Okay,
I like
State under. Good.
Yeah, I like Ohio State -10 in the first half against Notre Dame.
Now you're just throwing stuff over my head. This is too much to remember.
You're giving us method of victories and inside the distances. Come on, man. You can make a first half bet.
It makes more sense to me to say that first half lines. You know, I get you.
You can make a first half bet. Come on.
I can.
Yeah. So that's how it is. He is Jordan Sherwood. Follow him on Twitter at oneon1063. Make sure you get all of his picks at fatjacksports.com. Catch Fat Jack along with me and Chris Bleck every Thursday night at 6:35 p.m. throughout the football season. And, of course, I'm Adam Abdallah. Follow me on Twitter at Adam A. Abdallah. And we will be back next week for another episode of the Unnamed MMA Podcast.